Broadcasting from KUCR Studios in UC Riverside, this is the Highlander Newsroom. I'm your host, Crystal Mims, joined today by...
Joseph Avila, Assistant News Editor.
Miles Andrews Duvet, Sports Editor.
Aaron Gretsch, News Editor.
Krishna Parekh, Marketing Coordinator.
Welcome to the newsroom, the people behind the paper. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about Sound Clash, which was a talent competition put on by ASPB, as well as the Winter Solstice lineup. We're also going to be talking about laptopping and the recent development by ASUCR. And we're going to be talking about Super Bowl and Beyonce, which was the most important aspect of the Super Bowl. But anyway, all right, we will start with Sound Clash. So did anyone attend Sound Clash?
I attended.
So, how did you like it?
I really liked the show because it kind of showcased a lot of the talent at UCR. And it was a lot of like hidden talents that you don't really see or expect, especially because the genre type that they performed at. It was cool, though. There was a good amount of people that came out, and there was a lot of people representing for Rhythm and Brains and people that don't go to UCR but like are in Riverside, like RCC, that also performed, so that was kind of cool.
What's Rhythm and Brains?
Oh, so Rhythm and Brains is a music service org on campus that's basically a group of artists and musicians that performed.
They participated or what?
They participated, yeah.
Cool.
And it was a competition, so they all competed to get a spring nooner for, obviously, spring quarter, and they also had, like, a $250 cash prize. So that's pretty cool, yeah.
Did you have any favorite performers, or...?
I think some of my favorites was The Lazy Camper, because I haven't seen him perform his DJ set, and then definitely Veronica Lyos, who performed one of her original songs. She's kind of like acoustic soul genre, so that was something interesting. And they both ended up winning the competition, so that's always good.
Nice.
Yeah, except they have to split the money.
Yeah, that's true. They have to split the time performing at the Nooner event and the money, so.
Yeah. Do you think that there's anything that they could have done different or better? Or how was the overall event?
I think it could have been a little more efficient, because in between performances, there was a lot of, like, just waiting time, I guess, like, in terms of putting up, like, all the instruments and, like, so people were just talking a lot amongst themselves between performances. But for the most part, I think it was a successful event. It was still cool to see all the performers come out and obviously see the lineup for Winter Solstice. So that was, right. Yeah, that was really interesting.
I heard that they dropped it, though, in the very beginning.
No. They dropped it at the end.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. They played the video, like, twice. So, for sure, it was at the end.
So can you tell us who's going to be there?
Oh, yeah. So if you weren't there, it was Doja Cat, Kaylila, and then The Dream that's coming to Winter Solstice. Yep. Okay.
How do you guys feel about the lineup?
Doja Cat! I was saying that all week. Yeah,
Kaylila sounds pretty. Like,
yeah, she's heard of her.
Yeah, her voice is pretty. Yeah. So,
mm-hmm. I've heard of The Dream, but what?
He's like,
does anyone? Yeah, I don't even remember.
He had this duet with Mariah Carey that I used to bump all the time.
Okay,
Mariah Carey,
be like an old school, low-key, like person, yeah. Like Omarion came.
Oh yeah. That one time that Genuine came.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah. I feel like whoever they're going to be, like, Winter Solstice is always a really good event to put on anyways. It's just, it feels like the music that they play is really, really cool anyways. So even if you don't know who they are, I suggest you go and see them.
Yeah, and this year it's going to be held at the Riverside Municipal Auditorium. Mm-hmm. So do you guys think that'll impact it? And if so, like, negatively or positively? I don't know. I just don't know how they're moving students. I heard there's going to be a shuttle, but I don't know specifically how they're going to get everyone.
I would kind of prefer if they just, I mean, I like having it at the Hub, because then, like, everyone comes in, it's just, like, so open instead of, like, that. Yeah. And, like, I don't know, do you stand up, or do you just, like,
I'm not sure.
Sit down?
It's an auditorium, so I think they have, like, seats.
Yeah, that kind of also sucks.
It's not, like, very concert-like.
You've been there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I would prefer. Different. Yeah.
I've never been to Winter Solstice anyway, but, like, I don't know. I like the idea of having an open, like open floor like the hub.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or wherever it wasn't.
It was the hub.
Sometimes people just like sit on the grass or they'll sit on the steps. Mm-hmm. And like you can stand up if you want. So it gives you more freedom. But with this, it's kind of just you sit down, I guess. And
well, when you got a big artist like The Dream, you know.
That was the other thing, too. Step I was up. Like, yeah. why is it there?
Makes sense if it was a bigger artist.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I don't know. I still have to listen to the artists because I'm not all too familiar with them. So, but Doja Cat, I will listen to since you guys are so excited about her.
Mm-hmm. It was mostly just me. I was excited for the entire office when I found out.
But one of my friends, too, he was just like, what? Remember you told me?
Yeah.
He was like, oh my gosh. So, I will have to give her a chance.
Wait, is it El Nino the reason why they're moving it?
Yeah, I heard it was something with weather.
That was for heat. With this, I think it's just that they had more money.
Oh, okay.
So they decided to move it. But
it should have used that for
the artist.
This, yeah. Regardless, it should be fun.
Yeah.
We're not going to trash any artists.
Yeah.
Except Omarion. We can trash Omarion. Because he's already performed here, and he was just terrible.
Well, he is Omarion.
He just danced the entire time.
Oh, yeah.
When Icebox came on, I was so excited.
Yeah.
That was my jam.
He sang it for 5 seconds, and then started dancing.
What?
And I was like...
Damn.
No. Yeah, he's pretty awful at this point, but I did like B2K. He was in B2K.
Oh, yeah. B2K, I forgot about that.
I have all
that.
Their albums, actually, but Omarion.
He's pretty overweight now, too.
And short. Really short. Really short guy, man. It surprised me.
Yeah.
Those angles, man. 5'2", I think.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Maybe I'm exaggerating, but he's, like, shorter than me.
Kendrick is pretty short, too.
Kendrick is short as well.
Yeah. But, like, I didn't know that Kendrick was short. And Kendrick's kind of short. But then again, you have to give him love because he's Kendrick.
Agree, yeah. Omarion doesn't have that.
Yeah, Omarion doesn't have
anyone
that.
Love. You should give anyone love, regardless of how tall they are.
Like on my short song. Sorry. All right. Well, it's happening February 18th. Yes. So that's a Thursday. So, I mean, I'll definitely be there. I just like concerts, so you know. But
congrats on your first article, Krishna.
Yeah,
that was the first one that you wrote. Yeah. So congrats.
Keep on the front cover.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Something different.
Hopefully, you write for us all the time.
Yeah, we'll see.
Alright, we are going to switch gears to some fun stuff, ASCCR, and laptopping, which was banned and is now not banned. So basically this means that they can kind of go around and like encourage people, that's usually what happens, to vote, you know, for certain parties, things like that. So what do you guys think about this? Like, do you think... I mean, election season was a little crazy because of, like, accusations and things like that. And how do you think this will impact that now?
Go ahead, Aaron. You want to speak on this?
You got this.
I think the only thing that I really want to reference is this quote in the paper by... I think it's by President Pro Tempore Corey Willis. He said he felt...
Always a masterful with his words.
Right. He said that laptoping forces. He said he felt that saying laptoping forces students to vote is disrespectful to the agency and the intelligence of the students, because he believes we are all adults and have the right to say no. But that kind of like that's kind of really one sided and not really viewing the problem of laptoping. Like, yeah, we have the right to say no, but what laptoping does is it exploits people's like apathy to. Like saying yes and or saying no. So it's not really like, oh, they can say no if they want to. Like, that's, you know what I mean? That's a little weird to say that, you know, it insults the intelligence of students, because, yeah, we all have the right to say no, but some of us don't even really care. Like, they exploited the apathy. I guess that's one point, is that laptoping is not about, well, like, you know, it wasn't that they were forcing people to say no. I mean, they're forcing people to vote. It was that they were like manipulating people so that they could vote. So it's not even you didn't even realize what was going on before you voted. And I think correct me if I'm wrong, but President Pro Tempore Corey Willis got his party got elected because of laptoping.
Our Voice, the party, was like, you know, accused of laptoping a lot. They got a bunch of violations last year, And the entire party was banned and kicked out of elections. And then administration stepped in and was like, yo. And then there was like a huge scandal. The judicial branch got involved. And then again, the ACCR Senate last year didn't handle it well because they tried to shut down the judicial branch from making a decision. So it was all really, I mean, if you want, like, I can just email me news@islandernews.org and I'll forward you all the articles that we have about that. But anyways, I spent a good quarter not sleeping until 3 a.m. covering that. And, laptoping was at the basis of this. So, like, what laptoping basically is, for those of you who don't know, you basically get a laptop, and then you go out, or, like, any electronic device, actually, and you go out to people, and you're like, hey, can you vote for my political party? Vote for these candidates, and then you choose and vote for them. And that's how you laptop. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, though, like, it's not really going to take that much effect this year because now they only have polling stations in order to prevent this. But it's pretty funny how, like, people that, you know, kind of were accused of doing this and claimed they didn't do this, they claimed really hard that they didn't do this, and they, you know, swear that they did not do this, that, like, those allegations were false, that those were lies, and anyone that was covering this is biased against them, even though there was video evidence, photo evidence that this was in fact happening. It's just pretty ironic that they chose to allow it, especially considering that they were accused of doing it. So I'm not saying that they did it last year, but it's pretty convenient that the people that were accused of doing it got banned, and then had administration let them back in, would allow laptoping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is all just one little piece of detail. Apparently UC San Diego, they allow laptoping. That was used as a justification for it previously, said in the article by President Pro Tempore Willis. He says, the justification for me personally is, number one, UC San Diego, for example, they allow laptoping and they still don't get the same number of voter turnout that we get. So that was that's just one little tidbit of info.
Well, thank you, Andy, for explaining, because most people, I feel like, don't really know exactly what goes on with ACCR and
or care, which is why this strategy gets so much people.
And that is a great privilege to not follow elections. Yeah, I envy you people. I feel like I wasted like 10 weeks of my life.
It comes with the job. I mean, it definitely shows you, like, I don't know, the fact that people took this there's like dichotomy of people who care and who don't care about this stuff. And it's like it's interesting to see both sides of it, and especially the people who do care about this stuff. I mean, like, to use a strategy like that is just insane to me. But also, I don't know, if you think about it in, like, broader terms, like, this is if anyone were to try to do this in a regular democracy, like a voting, you know, local level, federal level, whatever, it would be pretty shady for someone to go out and coerce someone to vote. So the fact that they are taking this so lightly is interesting. It speaks a lot to, you know, to what they think about, you know, democracy in general, that we can just easily squeeze votes out of someone because it's okay, because it's not, you know, because it's justifiable because someone else does it.
I'm actually going to play devil's advocate here for a little bit. Like, think about it. I mean, isn't that what people basically do already? Like, when people go out and campaign for candidates, don't they knock on their doors and ask them to vote for their candidate?
But they don't literally vote. They don't literally vote go there to the booth with you and vote.
That's true. That's true. So, yeah. I mean, it's similar. Like, that's true. That's maybe why we need polling stations then. I mean, if they keep the polling stations, I think that shouldn't be a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe that'll help a little. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we'll see. I think it might be difficult to get people to vote in general, though, just because they have to go down there and make the effort. And, like, already people don't, like you said, the majority probably doesn't care all too much. Mm-hmm. So that might be difficult, especially for us. Oh my gosh, we need a referendum test.
Just a little word of advice for anyone that's gonna run, like, keep campaigning clean. Don't be mean. I mean, last year, like the past 2 years, it was just dirty politics from like all sides. Everyone was like mudslinging, and I mean, come on, we're all students at the end of the day. Campaigning is really harsh, and it's pretty cool that they, like, you know, I'm really not against the fact that they extended it to like 5 strikes and like shortened it to like 3 weeks, but yeah, keep it clean, don't be mean. And I think that rhymes too. Keep it clean, don't be mean.
Yeah, we should
make that your slogan. That should be your slogan for campaigning.
Yeah. Do you guys think there's anything that can be done to like ensure that students aren't like harassed or, I don't know, forced to vote?
Just say no to people who are going to... I mean, it's not going to happen this way. Like, people aren't going to be harassed.
Yeah, like, if someone asks you, like, oh, have you voted? And you're really apathetic about it, just say, I already voted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lie to them.
Yeah.
Well, if you are just joining us, you're listening to the Highlander Newsroom, broadcasting on KUCR 88.3 FM, streaming online at KUCR.org, on the KUCR app from the App Store, or the TuneIn app on Android. All right. Now we're actually going to talk about some fun stuff. The Super Bowl recently happened, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, the game in general, and then also the halftime show, which, of course, caused a big frenzy because Beyonce performed. Even though it was Coldplay's, like, halftime show, I felt a little bad, but, you know, you can't say no to Beyonce if she was like, I want to perform too. Like, what do you say, right? So, anyway, Coldplay performed and had Beyonce and Bruno Mars come out. So, did you guys watch the game? Who were you rooting for? Like, did you enjoy it?
We watched it during Prod, if you forgot, Crystal. Yes.
I was definitely rooting for Beyonce.
Some guy caught a ball and then ran it over into another end zone. Yeah. Is that what it's called? That's what I saw. But apparently it was a boring game. I'm not too big of a fan of American football, TBH.
What's your take on it, sports editor Miles?
Oh, well, thank you for asking. Aaron's analysis is dead on. I think definitely someone caught it. Definitely was ran to the end zone, so you're spot on. Damn. But no, regardless, I think it was the game itself was entertaining for me, at least, because I was, while, you know, they weren't lighting up scoreboards, I think you definitely did see quarterbacks in Peyton Manning and Cam Newton kind of going head to head. Cam Newton being like the eventual potential face of the league versus Peyton Manning, who was the face of the league for 10 years, is now, you know, officially retiring, probably not officially, but most likely plans on retiring now, 40 years old, this summer. So it was just a fun game to watch. I said the Broncos would win the Super Bowl like back in September, and I stuck with it all year, and I was pretty, it was a lot of redemption in my end. So to all you doubters out there, you know, I was pretty excited about that. I was like surrounded by Carolina Panthers fans.
Didn't they just win because of defense? That's like what my friend who's really
primarily, yeah. primarily, their defense, but their defense was exceptional. It should not be understated like how great their defense was. So, Carolina just could not do anything offensively. They were completely smothering them. So, it was overall, the game itself was fun, and the halftime performance obviously was also interesting to watch as well, which I'm sure we will discuss. Yeah.
Because the Black Berets were awesome in the performance.
Yeah. So, one of the things everyone's talking about, of course, is Beyonce, but her song that she performed, which is like a new song called Formation.
Yes.
And in it, it's very like she's celebrating her culture, being Black, and also she makes a few like statements about police brutality in it. Like, there's a sign that says like "Stop killing us." That's like kind of written on like a wall in the video, and a small Black boy who's like dancing in front of like cops and like stuff like that. And so there's a lot of people saying, you know, it's anti-police and that they should have kept race out of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they called her racist.
It's really funny to me considering that Beyonce is Black.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
There are a lot of people just saying things like that and, you know, saying that they should have kept it.
Yeah.
As someone said, quote, wholesome entertainment.
Yeah.
Rudy Giuliani. Yeah. That's who said it.
Yeah. Another congressman actually came out too. I think his name was Pete King. He was from, he's from New York, I think, and he released like a 5-paragraph statement about, like a little mini essay about why Beyonce was, you know, anti-cop and just kind of bad for culture. I think what's interesting is, like, the Super Bowl is a cultural event that you can't really get much more American than a Super Bowl. And I think that bringing out, like, for Beyonce to come out and to have her dancers dressed like to reference the Black Panthers, there's nothing more American as well on the flip side of the wholesomeness than the Black Panthers. Like, there's nothing more American at the time that she could have done than to evoke that because of the times that we're living in right now. Like, wholesome fun is not it's not an accurate picture of America. It doesn't represent accurately who we are as Americans nowadays. So for her to do that, she didn't do it overtly. She wasn't like F the police. She didn't do anything mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. But she did it to empower people and to say, like, hey, like, this is part of who we are. Like, this is, I'm going to hold this up because, you know, in the past, people like to say that the Black Panthers are racist, that they're, you know, that they're good for nothings. But, you know, the Black Panthers were a group in the 60s fighting for the civil rights of Black people. And they did some really good stuff for the country. But, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of shady things happened and they were suppressed and, you know, they're... I'm correct me if I'm wrong, but someone there's still people that are jailed from the yeah. Black Panthers. Yeah, yeah. Mumia Abu-Jamal. I think he was part of the Black Panthers and he's still in prison for supposedly killing a cop that he still, you know, holds his innocence. I think a lot of the discourse about the civil rights movement is muddled and not too many Americans really understand the impact that it had and the things that were done to suppress it. But yeah, that's my rant on it. I'll just open it up to you guys.
It's just crazy. It's like, okay, like, I understand the Black Panthers remain like a controversial, like, you know, political movement throughout history, but I mean, there's also other really controversial ones and crazy ones, like the Bundy people in Oregon, for example. And like, you look at the response through that, and like, you look at the response through the Black Panthers, and it's just completely different, completely like just one-sided, and people want to, like, I mean, it's pretty funny. I mean, you wouldn't dare call, you know, certain politicians, certain people like Trump, like racist or anything. Like, you'll get a lot of people, a lot of backlash saying that, oh, it's just propaganda or like whatever they'll say it is. But I mean, but yeah, it's perfectly acceptable to question like the Black Lives Matter movement and really anything else. And I think you should question everything. I mean, you definitely should, but like, you should be objective in your criticism. I mean, you have to, like, you know, consider all factors that take place into it and like form like an educated opinion on it. And like, in my opinion on it, like, obviously I don't think like people that are protesting for civil rights, I think they do have a right to be upset, to be angry, because they have been marginalized, and statistically it has shown that. However, like, I'm not going to say, like, oh, go kill all police officers. That's, you know, obviously right. not okay, too. But you should definitely, like, however, I mean, don't always trust, like, don't always just put all your faith in police officers either. I mean, as we have already seen, like, with Daniel Holtzclaw, like, the thing right. that he did, I mean, right. obviously, all police officers aren't trustworthy. So, I mean, yeah, there's plenty of good police officers out there, and, like, I do thank them for their service. I mean, a Riverside police officer was honored with a scholarship, but on the flip side, I mean, there's...
In his name, scholarship in his name.
He got a scholarship in his name, correction. But on the flip side, there's also, there's good and bad people everywhere that you go, and that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
That's fair. I think... you know, I side with obviously both of you guys in terms of where I don't like the backlash coming from the conservative side whatsoever. I mean, it's completely nonsensical, to be honest. But you do make a good point that, you know, not all cops are bad indeed, and that obviously leaning towards an extremism on the conservative side is probably equally as bad as leaning toward extremism on the other side in terms of, like you said, killing all cops. It bothers me when one of the main arguments that I saw was, you know, the idea of if Beyonce, or actually let's say if Taylor Swift, you know, were to go out there and perform a song that was, you know, focused on white supremacy, then we would be just as equally as mad. It was an argument that was raised. Mm. And I don't like that argument whatsoever, because I think it looks at everything in a vacuum, as if like pro-black and pro-white are, you know, hold equal weight. Where yeah. when like we all know, like, well, logically, if we're thinking logically, you know, we know that that's not even near the case. And so to contest Beyonce or any African American artist or any artist who, you know, any artist of oppression or of a color of oppression, like to use that platform to contest them for using that platform, I think is just it honestly comes off like conservatives are a bit threatened in a way, you know, given, you know, given the platform and given the power that, you know, an artist such as Beyonce does hold within, you know, her demographic and her followers. So I think it's, like I said, it's I hate that we even have to talk about it, but it's obviously a pressing issue. I just think that the entire notion of her, anything that she did was wrong, is just, like I said, not, it makes no sense. It makes no sense whatsoever.
I kind of want to just, like, kind of add to that. It's like, yeah, white supremacy in, like, popular culture and music doesn't even have to be explicit. Like, right, it exists. Right. Like,
it is, yeah,
Taylor Swift can make a music video about colonial Africa and, like, not have any black people in it, and people would be perfectly fine with that.
But yeah, I just want to shift the conversation to Christiance, one of the biggest Beyonce fans that I know. Follow her on Instagram, Christiance. What's your take on all of this, Krishna?
Well, I think that Beyonce had every right to do that kind of song, and I think it just wouldn't have made sense if she didn't respond to all the things that were talked about, because she is such a huge influence, and it, like, directly influences, like, affects her life too. And if you notice in the video, it says, like, please stop shooting us. It's not saying, like, oh, let's all gather together and, like, you know, like, it's, again, like as mentioned before, like, she's always been about empowerment. She's always been trying to bring the direction into a positive light, and trying to, you know, have a conversation going about this, because it's clearly an important topic. And as mentioned before too, like, you can't just blindly say, like, all police are bad. You know, you have to form your own opinion and, like, really understand the situation before you can, like, jump on, like, what's right and what's wrong. But I think conservatives were being a little too hopeful, thinking that she wouldn't discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
And really, if you look at her, like, if you really listen to her song, that's not all she talks about. She talks about every hater that she's ever gotten before, and, like, her response to it. Like, she mm-hmm. talks about her daughter. She talks about her background. And,
right.
you know, she talks about a lot of things that she's been affected with because she has such a huge, like, platform and such a huge influence. I mean, when you're that famous, like, I'm sure she gets criticism in all levels. So mm-hmm. why wouldn't she bring that platform?
Mm-hmm.
And if you watch the halftime show, like, she sang with Coldplay, like, it's like love together. Like, and it was all about, like, bringing everyone mm-hmm. together. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, it wasn't something about, like, I'm better. Like, it was just a form of unity too that the halftime show represented. So, I mean, I'm a huge Beyonce fan, and I think she killed that halftime show. And definitely. I think that song is amazing, and yeah. the music style and everything about it is amazing. But I also, like, appreciate the conversation she sparked because of that. And I think that it would be wrong to say, oh, how dare she does that, you know, especially from what you guys were talking about. And if it was someone else, you know, the conversation would be so different,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of my take on...
I was reading an article that said people are going to have a protest, like, in New York in front of the NFL headquarters because of this.
What?
Yeah, they said... the description reads, are you offended as an American that Beyonce pulled her race-baiting stunt at the Super Bowl? Do you
goodness.
Agree that it was a slap
offended
in the face?
As an American? She was empowering American ideals. Like,
yeah.
she was talking
yeah.
about togetherness and empowerment. To say that is kind of... I don't know, in my opinion, a little bit ignorant and
yeah.
just very emotional and not logical.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
if you really understand the situation, I think you wouldn't have go and, like, protest about someone who might actually be a positive influence on the society.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
People, like, are definitely scared, though, but...
Yeah. All right. Well, this has been the Highlander Newsroom on KUCR 88.3 FM. The Newsroom is a co-production of the Highlander Newspaper and KUCR. The opinions expressed on today's show belong solely to their owners and do not represent KUCR, the Highlander, or the Associated Students. Special thanks to Louis Vandenberg, Monica Taylor, Eddie Valencia, Elliot Fong, Tina Bold, and Alex Hill. I hope you guys survived midterms, and good luck with the rest of the week, the school year.
I won't be doing my show tomorrow, but good luck with midterms. Maybe, like, listen to SoundCloud or YouTube. No, continue to listen to KCR. Yeah, good luck with midterms.
Okay, good luck with midterms. If you guys ever want to have a stress-free day and are a musician or artist, come out to Rhythm and Brain's general meeting this yeah. Thursday at 6:30 in MSC 113. All right, good luck.
Kanye's album's dropping this Thursday at 2. I will see Joseph and Miles on Thursday.
Yeah. Kanye stopped tweeting.
He stopped tweeting?
No, he's like, stop. Yeah. If you
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Thanks for listening.